God's good news. Now let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be always acceptable in your sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. Don't you just hate it when you plan a dinner party and you work very carefully at the menu, you've invited all the right people, or at least a good combination of people, the table is set beautifully, the people are gathered, and then the food burns, or the garbage disposal breaks. Something happens. And the way the party expected just gets completely out of your control. Or maybe, you know, there are, we all have these people in our lives who we invite to a party, and we hope they won't behave the way they normally do, but then they do. Okay? We all have those kinds of parties and people in our life. Or the other kind of party, where it's kind of informal, and everybody just kind of shows up and brings something, comes to somebody's house, no particular plans, but everybody kind of knows the rules of how that kind of party goes. You know, somebody brings this, one person, you know, maybe has the table set, you kind of know the time and place that we're gathering, whether it's going to be casual or a little more formal, those kinds of things. We all kind of know the rules of those kinds of parties. And everybody comes and does what they're supposed to do, and then suddenly one person does something way out of character and just completely throws the party off, and everybody else goes along with it. And the whole, you as host or hostess, are kind of wondering, what just happened here? Okay. Jesus is talking about that very kind of thing in the gospel story today. Okay? Things, again, Jesus always uses very human things. Okay? There is a dinner of some sort. Jesus and his disciples have set their face on Jerusalem. Okay? We don't know how much time Mary and Martha had to prepare for dinner, or, you know, that Jesus was coming. Did Jesus send a messenger ahead to say, hey, we're coming, and I've got like 60 disciples with me, so we need food for 60. Or, you know, they just kind of show up, and Mary and Martha did their best to get everything ready and make Jesus and his disciples welcome. Because hospitality was key. Hospitality was absolutely essential to survival at that point in time. When you've been walking from city to city in a desert climate, if people weren't hospitable to you, you could die. And in that time and place, like in every time and place, there were social rules and social norms. The women were the ones who took care of all the details in the house and made sure that people were welcomed. Okay? And the men were the ones who were usually out there, you know, doing things on the road or whatever. So Jesus comes. Mary and Martha, my guess is, no matter if they had a lot of notice or not, did everything they possibly could to get this dinner ready for Jesus and his disciples and welcome him. And I'm sure Jesus and his disciples were good guests. You know, they probably washed their feet at the door like you were supposed to in that time because you'd just been trotting along in the desert. Okay? And everything is probably going pretty well. And then one person does something out of the ordinary. And that person is Mary. And she does it not just to break rules or do something unconventional, but she does it because she is so drawn to this man Jesus, so drawn to the words that he is teaching, that are speaking to her heart, that nothing will get in the way. And so what she does is she simply sits down at his feet. Now, for us, that doesn't sound like a really radical kind of thing to do. Of course you're going to sit down and listen to the teacher who's coming in. But it was a radical thing to do because women in that time, they weren't deemed worthy of education. So they couldn't learn. And men were the ones who were supposed to do the learning. sit at the feet of a rabbi meant that the rabbi acknowledged you as worthy to listen. And then you took on the responsibility to spread the teachings of the rabbi. So Jesus was also doing something unconventional here. He let Mary sit at his feet and listen. The disciples, all the people around who were probably mostly men, also were kind of breaking the rules because they didn't pull Jesus aside and say, hey, buddy, Mary shouldn't be here. You could get in trouble and we could get in trouble by doing this with you. They didn't do that. They were drawn to the words that Jesus said. And my guess is Martha would have loved to sit at Jesus' feet and listen too, but someone had to do the dishes. Someone had to get things ready. One of the things I think Jesus was talking about when he told Martha not to worry so much, that Mary has chosen the better part, was to get herself out of the trap of maintenance, of doing the same things and worrying about the details, just simply maintaining. But I think Jesus was speaking more than to just Martha. Martha sometimes gets a really bad rap for worrying about the details and like she didn't care at all about what Jesus was saying. Okay? Martha was just simply the one who was able to say out loud, hey, this is great, but there's something happening here that's really wrong. At least the way our society is constructed, this is really wrong. And I got to ask about it because what are the neighbors going to think? We're all trying to be good and faithful people here and do things the way we were taught. Okay? And Jesus, in the middle of it, says, just relax. Mary has the focus on the main thing, which is the love of God and the good news that I am telling you. It's okay. What does that have to do with us? Well, I think it has a lot to do with us. It is very easy for all of us in our individual lives, in our church lives, in our community lives, in our work lives, to get really trapped into the maintenance of whatever it is, the day-to-day stuff that we have to do to keep things going. Dishes need to be done. Buildings need light bulbs changed. All those practical kinds of things, we have to do them. We also have to pray. We also have to spend time with God. We have to build relationships with each other. And if we do that all the time, if we just sit and meditate all day, there isn't too much of the rest of the world that's going to happen. Our homes are going to fall apart. Our children aren't going to get fed. We won't be able to pay the bills. But what Jesus is saying is don't get trapped into thinking that by doing these things, you are doing the Word of God. Don't get trapped into maintenance mode. You need both. You need prayer and action. If you hold on to one or the other too tightly and not in balance, they become idols. They become doing for the sake of doing and praying for the sake of sort of keeping brownie points. It's easy for the good things to be seductive. It's easy to see what's bad in the middle of our lives and not do it. But getting caught up in maintenance mode, keeping things the way they are for the sake of doing them that way, is not what Jesus calls us to. And when the people of God, and back up a little bit, what happens when something new is introduced into a family or a church or any group of people is that there's usually one group or family members who want everything to be the same. There's usually a big group who could care less about how things are going. And there's usually an individual or a group who are very worried about the process, who are very worried about all the details, about how things are going to keep going, what direction we're going in, is the family falling apart? What those are One, great care. Great care for the day-to-day maintenance of the family. We do these things for our families because we love them. We do the things for the church that we do for the church because we love the church. We love Jesus. And when we see things maybe falling apart or changing, we worry. We worry. We get fearful that what we know is going to fall apart. And then other people may not know. Other people may not be able to come and have the same experience. They may not be able to know God's love in the way we do. So how do we listen to the Marthas in our families and the Marthas in our churches? It can't be men or women, okay, who worry about the little details. Because what they are telling us is we care. We care enough to worry about the details. How do we listen to those in our families, in our communities, who are willing to just sort of go full speed ahead with whatever it is and not worry about social norms or anything like that? We do that also by listening to them, by understanding that they too seek relationship. They look for ways, they're looking for ways for the love of God to be made known in their individual lives, in their family lives, in their church lives. And the same with all the people in the middle who sort of seem to not care or seem to be not as involved. We all show those things. We all show how much we care in various ways. And it's easy in families and in systems to go, oh, they're those people and they're those people, and assume sort of malintent. Okay? But the reality is, all of us want to hold on to the love of God made manifest in Jesus. And we think we know the way to do that. The reality is, we don't. We're not God. We need all the voices. We need every single voice. And that's what Jesus is telling us today. Jesus is also saying, people of God, if you don't listen, you who should know better, because I'm here right in front of you teaching you. Not me, Jesus, in the story. Jesus is saying, look, if you don't understand and if you don't do something about showing God's love in the world, I will call in the outside voices. Mary was not someone who was supposed to be able to speak and proclaim God's love. But yet Jesus said, no. She's here, and this is a good and holy thing. God has a history from day one of making sure that what God wants done gets done, despite what we do. And if the chosen people of God did not listen, through all the stories of the Old Testament and many stories in the Gospel, if the chosen people of God did not listen, God brought in the outside voices, the unexpected voices, the voices that broke the rules. And by that I mean crossed the boundaries. Okay? God brought in prophets, teachers, judges, different people. So as we move through this transition, I think we need to ask ourselves, how do we balance prayer and focusing on the main thing, Jesus, and keeping Jesus the main thing? How do we balance our prayer lives, and how do we balance how much maintenance, how much worry we have in the church about what's going on or what isn't going on? How do we listen to all the voices around us in this building and outside this building who are calling us to do God's work? And the thing to remember is that it is God's work. It's not our work. God's work will always get done. It always does get done. It always will get done throughout time and history. God's work is being done now. And our choice is whether we're going to cooperate with God or not. It's that simple. So we need to listen to the voices around us. The Marthas in our world have a place. The Marys in our world have a place. The disciples in our world have a place. But all of them were focused on Jesus. And that's where we need to be. Because if we do that, no matter what happens with this church, what gets done and what doesn't get done, if we are focused on God, God's work will get done. And that's the only thing that matters.